Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen. Before we jump into our topic for this afternoon, I wanted to give you a couple of pieces of information about our participation game. One is to update you on our registration drive. You may know that we're 1 week into our two-week drive. Our goal is to get 100 people pre-registered for the walk, which is really quite great at this point, since people usually wait till the last minute, and we have 40 people signed up so far, so we're almost halfway, and I'm hoping that many of you are like me and that you had an incredibly busy week last week and you didn't get to sign up, and you will do so that we'll far exceed our goal to have 100 people registered by next Tuesday. And the second thing I wanted to let people know is we have a winner of our last promotion, so everyone who entered to do a fundraiser in the last couple weeks was entered in a drawing to be featured in a Voices cartoon, and the winner was Bob K. So if you're Bob K., you can expect an email from the Voices artist pretty soon, figuring out how all of that, what the next steps are for that. So that's really fun. So our topic for this afternoon is also really fun. I have a group of very special guests here with me. These folks have been with us for the whole month of July on the Deepening Practice Retreat. So these are people who have taken a whole month out of their lives to come and be monks at the monastery. So we're going to hear from them from topics about what that's been like, why they decided to do it, the impact that's had on their practice, etc. And we're going to hear from as many of them as we can in the next few minutes. So who would like to start us out?
Hi, this is Jodine, and I was looking at what was my favorite inside or something, and really I have to say that the shift that occurred for me when I tried saying thank you first, when I got guidance in the kitchen about how to do what was expected of me, was really huge.
A lesson I'm guessing you can take into your whole life. Who else?
Hi, this is Jill, and I guess what's coming up for me is what an incredible privilege it is to be here for this month and to be with these monks who model this practice so beautifully and to eat this delicious food that's been prepared so lovingly and sometimes very quickly. It literally comes right out of the kitchen. And I just feel incredibly grateful, and it feels like the best gift I've ever given myself, maybe in my life.
Thanks, Jill.
Yeah, I just also wanted to say that this has been such an incredible gift to myself. There are far too many things. I can't start on all the wonders of the retreat because I will be here for an hour. But just to say, it's been absolutely fantastic, and I'm trying to figure out every way I can to get back here every year from now on. And I also just want to say that California in July has no clouds, which being from England is something I find quite spectacular. So, and it's been fantastic. Thank you.
That was an advertisement for the whole British Sangha, right? Get over here soon. Who else?
And this is Susan. And the Deepening Practice Retreat is really just that. It's just been an amazing experience and something that I just am so happy that I was able to come to with such gratitude to the monks and Sherry and everyone participating. It's been really, really fantastic.
Susan.
This is Mary Jane. I guess I just wanted to say that for me, it just seems like this retreat is whatever you need it to be. Those things come up. So I can imagine if you do this more than once that it's a completely different experience. So it's just been really profound how all the things that in my life have shown up here at the monastery in one shape or form. And fortunately, in the context, I'm able to see them in a way that is harder sometimes to see in everyday life.
Yeah, that's great. That's neat. That the monastery is whatever each person needs it to be. and giving yourself the gift of an extended time, which I'm hearing from several people, really gives you the chance to see the things that come up in your everyday life that actually happens here. Well,
hi, this is Patty, and I guess I did expect to come here and practice a lot, but what I didn't expect was a month of living really close to nature and how amazing that's been, because I live in a big city, and I don't get to be in nature in this way, and it's been just a huge gift. There's somebody inside me who's just so happy to be surrounded by trees and grass. It's really cool.
Actually, it reminds me of one of the things that's fun for us to have everyone here is to be reminded of things that we're surrounded with all the time and sort of forget because we're so lucky we don't see them all the time. So it's fun to be reminded of those things.
This is Jen, and I too am just have a lot of gratitude for Sherry, the guides, and the monks, and the four-footed monks, the canines on the property. I came into this retreat thinking, oh, you know, this is going to be great. I'm going to see so much stuff, and you know, taking a very serious approach, and been relieved and enjoying the fact that it's actually been a whole lot of fun. It's a great gift to myself, and I really appreciate the, all the guidance and all the opportunities and the fact that those could come in the context of a lot of laughter has been really great.
Great. We always have fun in practice, but it's definitely exponential with this many people on the property.
Hi, this is Isabel, and one of the things I'm really going to take away from the retreat is an experience that really literally stopped me in my tracks was of finding unconditional love for this being and realizing that I care so deeply for her and I'm okay with whatever happens. And I felt that through that, I was able to find an experience of peace beyond circumstance. And for that, I'm truly grateful.
Hi, this is Scott. And as someone who works really hard in their life and tries to get it right, it's not a surprise. I've been practicing a lot of that here. But what's been really a joy is to find out that practice and life in general really truly is a love story. And sort of practice just sinking into that, leaning into that, and trusting that has been really grateful for that.
Yeah, to find out that whatever we deal with in our day-to-day lives is the thing we bring to practice, and that's just fine. Anyone else?
Hi, this is Rebecca. And I think the biggest gift I've been given this month has been the gift of acceptance. This realization as a felt experience that life is providing me with everything that I need. And along with that is this realization that I'm adequate to my life. And I don't know which happened first, and it doesn't matter. And I'm just very grateful.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Hi, this is Mary, and I think the biggest insight, or at least one of them, has been around the real difference between a theoretical understanding and a experiential understanding. That when you do it and when you do it wholeheartedly, it's very different than understanding it theoretically. So I'm very grateful for this place and everyone here to help me realize that.
And I'll tag on to that. If we had more time, I would pass the phone around to the monks to talk about the incredible impact that it's had having all of these folks here with us. It's been an extraordinary gift. The energy, the commitment, the sincerity of practice is just really, really moving. So I think that was everyone, yeah? Very good. Thank you all very much. And we'll turn it over to you, Michael.
Great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Deepening Practice folks. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Good. It was fun to hear those folks' voices.
Yes, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
A privilege.
A privilege and a joy. And I just appreciated so much hearing their perspective on what happened for them in this last month. I got to spend a fair amount of time with them, and I had fun. So I'm glad other people were enjoying themselves as well. It's always good, you know. Enjoying oneself is always a good thing. But to find out you're not the only one in enjoying yourself and that other people are as well, and especially they're enjoying themselves doing the kind of thing that you love best in the world, and that's fun.
It's a good deal.
It is a good deal.
As we like to say.
Yes, and I really like it that so many people are kind of testifying that practice is fun. Practice is a good time because, as we all know, awareness practice has such a bad reputation of just taking all the joy right out of your life, ruining your good time once and for all. And to just have people come and experience that, it's hard. And there are a lot of, difficult moments, and we see things that aren't always a good time right in the moment. And all of that can happen within a context of acceptance and loving kindness and joy, because the joy of awareness can actually include, encompass even the hard places of seeing things about ourselves that we've been taught are not okay and getting to the other side of that. So it's I always appreciate it when people say, no, it's not like conditioning says it is. It's much different from that, and come on and try it, and you'll have the experience for yourself that life is far better with awareness than with conditioned mind.
Great. That's my experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate to be at the monastery recently and definitely had that experience.
Yeah.
I have some announcements here.
Good.
This weekend, July 29th and 30th, you'll be at Namaste in Felton, California. For what do power, success, and fun have in common?
Yes, and there's plenty of room in that workshop. So we have gone, I'm having kind of a startling experience here in my young life. We've gone from turning people away at 50, because that was way beyond what the room could hold, to I think we have 23 people in that workshop. So if anybody's thinking about coming, it'll be spacious. You have plenty of room to join us. And there's even more room in the next one, August 12th and through 14th at Esalen. So if anybody is waffling and thinking, well, should I, shouldn't I, do.
Great. And as we know, this is a fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Right. So come on out and have a good time.
Great. And then just a couple days after that begins the new email class with Sherry Huber and June Shiver, Zen and the Enneagram. And sign up is by this Saturday, July 30th.
Hmm.
And that class goes from August 1st through September 9th. And on Saturday, August 6th, you will be in Seattle, Washington for...
Actually, I won't, Michael.
Oh.
Yeah, that workshop has actually been canceled. That's why people need to transfer their interest in that to either Namaste in a hurry or Esalen on the 12th through 14th.
Yes. August 12th through 14th, that's at Esalen in Big Sur, California. Weekend workshop entitled, What Do These Questions Have in Common? And then August 17th through 24th, Wednesday to Wednesday, What You Practice is What You Have, special retreat with Sherry for participants in any of the It's Time to Feel Good email classes.
Yes.
And that's at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's. And then, with barely a pause in between, August 27th through September 3rd, the extraordinary There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat.
Indeed.
Also at the monastery.
Yes.
To be followed soon after, September 7th through 14th, the extraordinary There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat.
And you know, Michael, I'm not certain, I could be wrong about this, but I think that first one that you mentioned is already full.
Okay.
And so if people want to get one in this year, they need to be looking at the second dates that you just mentioned, because I think
yes.
There's some spaces left in that one.
Great. And that's September 7th through 14. And it's time to make plans to join you, Sherry, and the monks at the 10th Annual Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 1st in San Francisco.
True.
And I'd like to remind...
Talk about a good time.
What's that?
Talk about a good time.
Yes. Indeed. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And we have our first caller.
Good.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Sherry, hi, it's Jonathan from England.
Oh, hello, Jonathan.
Hi, long time no speak.
Yes. What's going on?
Well, what I wanted to say was, I can just say in a sentence, I feel worthwhile, really, for the first time in a long time. And it sounds quite strange saying that out loud, but it's like it's been the missing piece of the puzzle since I started working with your ideas, your concepts. And it's been like quite a rocky road to this point, but what I realized looking back is that all the time conditioning was talking to me and giving me its views. I didn't feel worthwhile. I was believing it because of that.
Yes.
And you know, I've read many books. You know, I was reading about Martin Luther King. That was like a clue, but it still didn't really... Something changed. I don't know whether it was me or I don't know whether it was some kind of spiritual power that I've been praying to, but something shifted and I suddenly had this ground to stand on where I could face down what conditioning was saying for the first time, I think.
Congratulations.
But I couldn't have realized during the process that that's what was actually going on.
Right.
And I think, how was I living then? Because it was like these two forces together were like conditioning with its negativity and me feeling worthless and hopeless underneath everything
yes.
I was trying to do.
Yes. And there are a whole lot of people living right there, and I often
looking back, I was thinking, well, how was I kind of making dinner and
yes.
shopping for food? Like, who was doing that? It just doesn't quite make sense. But
yeah. How do people go on with all of that occurring in their lives? Yeah, I'm right there.
Yeah.
So that's a glorious thing, huh?
It is, and I think that one of the experience that I'm having at the moment is I notice that there's a lot of sadness about realizing that conditioning had me down there for such a long time.
Okay, time out.
And,
time
yeah,
out.
And there's like a sudden, and there's on the other side, there's like this energy thinking, well, now that I know that I have value, you know, and that I'm worthwhile, what am I going to do? It's like this tremendous...
Ditch them both. Lose the sadness, okay, because what would that be except the same old system coming in and trying to get you again? And why go into conditioned mind to answer useless questions or to noodle stuff that you can't possibly know the answer to? It's just they're both, there's the razor's edge, and on one side is, oh, I'm so sad that that went on for so long, and on the other side, the other slope to slip down is, well, now what do I do?
Right.
And both of them have one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to drag you back into the pit. So just say no and keep on walking.
Yeah, it's great. I think I'm just a bit still in shock, really. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and so here's my best encouragement. Don't think about it. Just keep breathing. Smile, smile, breathe, breathe, smile, and allow your system to just adjust to not being miserable. But you go up into your conditioned mind for any conversation about anything, and I can promise you, it's just a giant hook to pull you back into the pit.
Yeah.
And the temptation is huge. That's why we just say no.
Yeah, I don't really know what else to add, really. I mean, it's just everything looks different. People seem different, you know.
Yes. You're different.
Yeah.
And you can just enjoy it.
That's what I've been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nothing matters about it.
Right.
There are no clouds in the sky. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. Just enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing to understand, nothing to figure out, nothing to wonder about, nothing to feel bad about because it was different yesterday, the day before. It's right here, right now. It's good.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
You're most welcome. Anytime.
Okay.
All right.
Nice to chat back in with you.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice. Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jonathan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Sherry. This is Nancy in Texas.
Hello, Nancy.
And I'm just calling in to say it's all wonderful.
It is, isn't it?
Yes. And I'm coming out for my first ever retreat in mid-August.
I heard that rumor.
I'm so excited. I almost came to my first ever retreat last month, or early July, whenever it was, the what you practice.
Yes.
And then my ankle intervened, and registration was so kind as to let me heal up and come in August, when I'm supposed to, apparently.
Uh-huh. Good.
Yes, so I'm very excited, and that's it. Just it's
life
really
is good.
Odd.
Life is wonderful.
Yes, and I loved that last bit of advice. I just want to write that down. Just smile and quit thinking.
Yes, breathe, smile. Then for variety, smile, breathe.
And breathe.
Mm-hmm. Keep doing that, and life just chugs along.
Yes, and I've realized nothing big or important needs to happen.
Well, life is big and important, and it is happening.
Yes.
It's just that we usually miss it for the nonsense that's going on in conditioned mind.
Which mostly in my mind comes down to, but something bigger should be happening.
Yes, something bigger than life.
Yep.
Huh.
So anyway, I'm going to let someone else speak now, and I'll
good.
Soon.
Well, walk carefully.
Yes.
Smile.
Yes,
breathe.
Very carefully.
Okay. Thanks, Nancy.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christine in North Carolina.
Hello, Christine.
Hi.
What's going on in North Carolina? Well, you're part of North Carolina.
Yep. Oh, what's going on in my part?
Yeah.
It's hot, but fine and good. Everything's pretty good.
Good.
Yeah. So I wanted to call because it's my birthday today.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's been interesting watching conditioning say things like, I'm not doing the right thing on my birthday because it's supposed to be this very special day and I should be doing whatever else that I didn't choose.
Yes, something very, very special. So that you would be having a particular experience that would be far better than
mm-hmm.
any other experience.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Right. But that wasn't, somehow that didn't really catch me because I'm happy. It's a great day.
Yes.
And what I did was fine.
Yes.
And
the main thing is just to be happy and grateful that you were born and that you're still here.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I am very thankful. And so one thing that conditioning gets me with still is, well, yeah, is making decisions. And so I was renting a tool today to do a project in my yard, and even I was going back and forth, should I rent it over here and pay this, or should I rent it over here? This one's farther away to drive. This one's this, that one's that. And so often, that's just what happens often. You know, which one should I choose? And then I hear from conditioning that I want my authentic nature, I want my higher power to, like, tell me what to do. And so I ask, but then my conditioning kind of gets me maybe sped up again and in a hurry, and then I don't hear something, and then I'm back to, oh, no, which one do I choose?
Uh-huh. And do you have a sense, an inkling, at least intellectually, that it doesn't matter?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So definitely, I know that. Like, definitely, I'm often in that place of stepping back and thinking, well, this is kind of crazy. It doesn't really matter at all. So, you know, I did kind of just get out of my car and started driving. Oh, yeah, okay, now I'm going to go this way. And then I went to one. Right. But, yeah, so I guess I think the hook is that I still believe some of my conditioning, whatever it says, like, if I make the right decision, then this something will open up in my life, or I'll meet somebody, and that'll be the right way to be, or right place to be at the right time, or just all sorts of things.
Yeah,
that I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, I would encourage you to drop the ownership of conditioning. So conditioned mind, you know, you don't want it to be yours.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So that's what conditioned mind is doing, and of course, we know the one thing that we can know with pretty much certainty is that conditioned mind has no idea what the future holds. And the way we know that is nobody knows. So conditioned mind predicting that if you noodle a decision long enough, somehow, you know, you'll make the right choice and then your life will go. It's true that your life goes in whatever direction based on, you know, if you go to that place as compared to that other place, then you will have the experience you have at the place where you are. But there's nobody and nothing that can say, and that is a better choice. Because the only thing you ever know is you are where you are. And then the thing that we know from practice is you get the choice. You can either enjoy yourself or not enjoy yourself. But you're not going to enjoy yourself more because you went to that other place as compared to this place. Although conditioned mind will argue with its last breath that that's the case.
That's true.
But there's only what is. So there's never a comparison.
So, right. And so I'm at the place of, okay, in 15 minutes, it's going to be the way it is.
Yeah.
And I have to decide.
Or you don't.
Be.
Or you don't. You don't. So in that case that you're talking about, you look up, do you look online? For how do you find out there are two places where you can get this tool?
I had the phone book and I had them. Yep, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got the phone book, you look at it and you go, oh, okay. And you can do any number of things, right? You can close your eyes and spin the phone book around and drop your finger and you go to the nearest one. Okay, anything you want to do, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And then that's the end of it. That's
yeah.
it.
So
no conversation.
Breathe a lot and not listen to
what
conditioning has to say about that.
That's right. This is where I'm going. This is my place.
And
I'm excited.
Yeah. And basically it was great. Like I decided, I went and it was a great experience and actually it was fine. But what can you say something about hearing my intuition?
Here's the deal. This is what I can tell you about intuition.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to hear it as long as you're listening to conditioned mind.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's what because
what happens is intuition drops in and right behind it is conditioned mind. And
mm-hmm.
you can't tell the difference because you're so used to listening to the back and forth of conditioned mind. So as that falls away, the only thing that'll be there is intuition.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I just love that. And I have had lots of experiences where it's true. I get something like, oh, okay, and then conditioning is just piles on over it.
Yeah, that's why.
But it's
important not to listen to it.
Yeah, but it's so wonderful to hear it. But I think conditioning was just really. So when I was trying, there was something about I was trying to hear my intuition. I was in. There's something.
Yeah.
I think conditioning was in there trying to get me to try.
Yes. To
hear my
to hear intuition. Which, of course, it has no interest in you hearing.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. So if you get it, that you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong. Because wherever you are, that's the experience you're having. It's all for you. If you're paying attention, you're going to see a ton. If you're not, it really doesn't matter. You'll just sleepwalk till you wake up somewhere. You cannot make a mistake. Then there's no sense in staying in those inane conversations with conditioned mind.
That's right. That's right. And so I'll just mention one other conditioned thing that I hear. In the past, it's been stronger. Now I don't really bother with it too much. But it says if I make a wrong decision or if I choose something incorrectly. And like money's involved, that basically it says I can't afford to make a wrong decision. I can't afford to replace that car or do this or do that. So I better get it right.
Yeah, and if you buy into that, you will continue to be made miserable.
Yeah,
because
I don't like
conditioning
that
is going to make sure that you make plenty of mistakes.
In quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to make sure of that, and it's going to torture you. Yeah. And so, you know, there we are again. If you really get it, that life is living you, then you will have what you have, experience, money, opportunity, wisdom, clarity. You will have everything that is yours. There's no way around it except to miss life in a conversation with conditioned mind, where it is attempting to scare you and threaten you into having it as your only relationship. Because then, if conditioning is our only relationship, we're not open to life.
Yes, thank you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Christine. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, sweet. Thanks, Sherry.
Have fun.
Thank you. And I'm enjoying the game.
Oh, good.
And the fundraising is really fun, and it's all great. So
it is.
All that.
It is. It's all great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Good night.
Yeah, thanks so much. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Christine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be right back.
All right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Janice from Texas.
Hey, Janice.
Hey. I've been listening to the archives quite a bit lately, and, you know, everyone that has a commitment to call in. And so I made a commitment to call in, and I'm calling in.
It's catching on.
I know.
Yeah.
I had to almost like tape something to my forehead though, because what happens is I'll know it's Tuesday and I'll want to call in, and then it'll be about 9 o'clock. The show's over.
It's
so
it's
crazy,
isn't it? It's crazy. It can make a person feel crazy.
Yeah.
How can it do that to us?
I don't know. Yeah, like, why can't I remember that?
Yeah, it's impressive. It's impressive. You know,
it is impressive. And when I was in the car deciding to call in, my conditioned mind was basically trying to prepare me to call in to be unprepared. Because I never do anything unprepared. And so it was just funny to me because it was like preparing me to call in to be unprepared.
Uh-huh. Orchestrating a casual appearance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was just like the conversation was you always are prepared and then you're not present. So just call in and be unprepared and like this is how you can do it. So it was preparing me.
Thanks, Coach.
I know. I was kind of noticing that. I thought, well, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to call in unprepared, but, you know, I have all that going on, too.
Yes. Yeah. Which, of course, is kind of the whole point, isn't it? So awareness practice is just to assist us to be aware of what's going on so that we can step free of it. And so there it is. Whatever. If people could just get it, that constantly doing new and different things reveals what conditioning does to keep lives small and keep a person in bondage, then, you know, just be out doing new things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, of course, people conditioned to believe conditioned mind want to do something new. Conditioning comes in to set the whole thing up, be the expert, do the coaching, tell you what you did wrong, humiliate you if possible, terrify you, whatever it is. And so people don't want to do anything because they're believing what conditioning says is going to happen rather than realizing the only bad thing that could happen to me is that I would believe that nonsense and follow it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing that hooks me the most, the scariest thing that conditioning can say to me, which when I say it, it's going to be kind of silly, is that I'll have nothing to say. Like, what if I didn't have something to say? It's
exactly.
Just not the worst thing in the world, is it?
Exactly. Are we both meditative?
Me,
could we just sit here quietly together and have a nice time?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I guess then, you know, then it's not interesting.
Besides, when has
maybe
that
you lose listeners, or, you know, the whole world might come to an end. I'm not sure.
And it's never been a problem.
Yeah. So if something hits me that bad, I mean, I could just ignore it. But is it probably related to a subpersonality?
No. I would guess that
it,
well, now I shouldn't say no so quickly because, yeah, there could be somebody who stood up to give a book report or something and went blank and then everybody laughs. And,
yeah.
You know, there's that kind of trauma that happens to kids. And generally speaking, it's just you'll fall for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
Just, you know, we watch it, right? It just fishes. And then somebody takes a hook. And then it's like, okay, gotcha. And then we replay that one over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And the more a person hears it, of course, generally speaking, the more frightening it becomes instead of less frightening, which is the argument for saying it out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm so glad I called in because conditioned mind is certain that I can't keep a commitment, so I'm committing to call in like every month.
Yeah, and that's great because then you'll get to see how it tries to stop you,
mm-hmm.
which will reveal a great deal about what it does. And, you know, sometimes it may actually distract you to the point where, you know, once again, it points out at 9 o'clock at night that you missed it. And then you go, okay, 1 point for you. And let's see now, how did that happen? And when you catch on to it, the language and the, you know, all of the things that it did to get you to forget, you write all of those out, you record them, listen to them all the time. They start becoming really familiar when you hear them. Pretty soon, you can keep any commitment that you make.
Okay. Yeah, because that's generally it. I just forget. So I'll just watch how I forget.
Yeah, and, you know, we live in a great age for not forgetting, right? I mean, there are so many ways to remember that the twist tie technique that I tend to recommend most is really not even that necessary any longer, right? I mean, you can set alarms for yourself. You can arrange for yourself to be called at a certain time. You know, you just tons of ways that you can arrange for yourself to be reminded of whatever it is that you want to remember.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, of course, you know, conditioned mind would say, oh, well, yeah, but, you know, you can't afford all those gadgets, or that's just silly. You should be able to just remember, or, ah, don't worry about that. You'll remember whatever little scam it's trying to run. You know, you just get to see it.
Yeah.
No, I need all of the technology that's available to humanity to help me remember to keep my commitments and just watch it go.
Oh, yeah.
That's nuts.
Technology is like the biggest snag for me.
Yeah, you're not good at that.
I'm a gadget lover.
Oh.
I will link my my Android into my computer, and I mean, I'll have the TV telling me. I have to sort of, so I swing back from trying to keep it simple to that. It's a little scam it has for me. It'll get me too interested in the technology to where it's just so complicated that I forget.
Well, yeah, I guess you can sidestep that one, right? You just set it up so that it works for you. And then when
my finger.
Yeah, this is too complex. This is it. To say, right, and I am remembering, aren't I? So I guess it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Complex, and then yes, put the twist tie on your finger just to be sure.
Okay, well, it was great. I got on.
Yeah, so I'll
I didn't
talk
know whether
to
I would,
if not before.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much, and
thank you,
Michael.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us, Janice. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, what if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Anna from Boston.
Hey, Anna.
Hi.
How goes it?
It's good. It's really good. So I wanted to call for, I think, a couple of different reasons. One, I just wanted to connect with Sangha. I was just feeling, I had such a great time on the retreat a couple weeks ago, and practice has been really great, and I just wanted to check in with Sangha.
Good. It's always worth doing.
Yeah.
Hmm?
And And the thing that I've been looking at, I've been looking at this process that I have around. It's staying or leaving my profession, and it's something that's been going on for a really long time, and the way it works sometimes is that it sets up what it sounds like is going on in my head is like there's like this dualistic argument, and I've been looking at this like dualistic argument for a long time, and this week I was listening to an archive, and what I heard you say was someone was kind of describing what I project to be a similar type of situation. And you said, well, who are the people that are involved with it? And so I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm going to sit down and see who these people are that are involved.
Uh-huh.
And so I did it. I was like, okay. So I just sat down and I did it. And what I saw was that it was like there were these sub-personalities involved and then the way they get beat up. And that was kind of like the way conditioning was having me go into like a pro and con. But it was like the sub-personality's point of view and the way they get beat up. And then it was like another sub-personality with a different point of view and they get beat up in a different way. And that's kind of what I saw in that was that that's why every time I write down some kind of pro and con list, there's like a lot of self-hate on one side and a lot of self-hate on the other side. And so it's like I'm set up in this lose-lose because either way, there's like this self-hate involved.
Powerful exercise and insight.
Yeah, and I was kind of just like, I was left with this place of like, what I really want to do is pay attention to these people, and I have no idea what that looks like.
Uh-huh. So you want to keep them from getting hoodwinked into this situation where they're just going to be beaten again.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, okay, we can find room for all you guys regardless of what I end up doing with whatever.
Yeah, because do you think they really care, or is that part of the setup?
I think it's part of the setup. I think that they're motivated by, they do like to do certain things, like there are things that they sort of enjoy doing. But like the person who, for example, has been doing my job for any numbers of years and enjoys my job and gets a lot out of it, like I do feel like she gets kind of like she would be fine doing other things that weren't my job, but like in a way she kind of gets scared into thinking it's her responsibility.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but
yeah,
that's really what it feels like. It's like she's been doing this kind of a thing since I can see for like since I was a kid, because it's kind of like the way things she felt like she had to kind of take care of stuff, and that's the way she takes care of stuff.
Yeah, and I'm sure you see other people who have gotten trapped in similar situations, right? So there's somebody. Well, this is what I can do to make a living,
mm-hmm.
and so this I'm good at this, so I'll just do this. And everybody inside is going, I don't want to do this. I hate to do this. But this is what we have to do because so there's not an opportunity for anybody else to find out if there are, in fact, other options that folks would like more.
Right. Yeah, because this is kind of like the thing that she does, and she kind of feels like she needs to do it. And when she does it, there's like this sense of kind of control and order.
Yeah.
When she's doing that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, and then what, so I see this and then, of course conditioning wants to say, I was just listening to the previous caller and, what does this mean and, for my life and this, and I know that's a trap and I know that that's not where I want to go. And so what I've been doing, is just looking at like today. So like today, I have like a list. I make a list of things to do and I like do what's on my list for the day. And I kind of, it's weird because it's almost like I'm willing. There's like this like willingness to do a lot of different things, and that's like coming from my body instead of my head. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's kind of what I was looking at today. It was like I need, there's like a willingness that comes from my body where I do lots of different things, and it feels like it feels fine, and I feel pretty, happy and, kind of content with whatever it is that I'm doing. And as long as I'm not going up into my head to try to think about what's going to happen tomorrow or 6 years down the road or anything like that, then it's like my day is pretty great.
Yes. In fact, you could drop the pretty, right?
Yeah, it's just great.
Yeah, your day is great. And that is such a great, to me, it's such a great image of exactly how it works. And I would have never thought to frame it that, the decisions that are made from the body. But it is what happens when that programming is not what's being followed. There's just an opening for so much to be there. And then, as indicated, conditioned mind comes in with its kind of one-note song, and that's the one you're meant to follow.
Right. Yeah, and it feels like I'm witnessing what my life is becoming instead of, like, thinking about what my life should become.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and you're living your life.
Yeah.
Because, it's...
Good point, Terry.
Again, it's that people believing that they're going to live forever. And what a misery if... this is one of those, God forbid. But what if you only had 10 more years to live? What kind of decisions would you be making? And people just gamble on, no, I'm going to have all of these years to follow this conditioned mind around about the life I should live and how I should be and what I should do, and then I'll have time to do what I want to do. And it's such an assumption that doing what you want to do, the thing that lights you up and, the old Joseph Campbell, following your bliss, wouldn't result in making a living, wouldn't support you, that you have to do something that you're good at but doesn't light you up in order to make a living. How did we get there?
Yeah, I don't know. Someone like wants to go in and figure that out, but it is so curious. It is.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really helpful just to check in, because I have these moments of this is just how my life is going. And it's funny because I've heard you say this before, and what's coming with it? It can't be this easy. It can't be this, like, I can't just, like, have such an amazingly wonderful, easy, life. And what it also does is this feeling, it takes this feeling of being, like, I'm extraordinarily lucky, and turns it into, what conditioning mind does with that is it turns it into, like, kind of a negative thing. You're taking advantage of life or something. That would be some kind of negative thing.
Yeah. And, the advantage of saying it out loud, getting it outside the head, because, the notion that you're taking advantage of life, and that it's a negative thing that you're really fortunate. Really?
Yeah.
So you should do what? Make your life miserable as a statement about, and then we just kind of lose the thread there, because it makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. It's like it wants me to live as if I'm not fortunate.
It's as a way of saying thank you to life.
Yeah.
Like, huh. Yeah. The logic just kind of breaks down.
Yeah, it does. Wow, this is so helpful. Thanks, Sherry.
Oh, yeah.
It's so interesting, though, because, like, you know, in the last 24 hours, it's like, I wake up and, I've been sleeping. So I'm kind of cluing in as to what goes on in sleeping. Luckily, I have this, like, morning routine, and I kind of get to a place where I'm like, okay, now I'm in a position where I'm kind of ready to start my day, and the day happens, and oftentimes it's really great. And it's just, I feel like I'm having lots of moments that are like, wow, this is, lots of insight moments. And also, there are some really tough moments, too. But as I'm saying out loud, I think the amazing thing is that I'm there for so many moments.
Yes, exactly. And again, if we see those tough moments as the gifts that they are, I have a wonderful life, and what it can enable me to do is see some kind of rugged karmic stuff that would be really, really difficult to grapple with if life circumstances were also very painful and difficult. So there you are, really able to enjoy your life and feeling grateful for the life that you have, and then within that context arises karmic stuff that you got to look at, that you need to face and deal with. We can just say thank you. I'm glad that happened now, because there are other times when it could have happened. It would have been maybe I wouldn't have been able to take advantage of the insight because I would have been just caught in so much struggle to survive that I couldn't have availed myself of the opportunity.
Yeah, that's great. Because I certainly, I can totally see how where I am right now when this stuff comes up, I'm able to like see it, and it oftentimes kind of, I see it, and sometimes I'm able to let go of it, and sometimes I'm not able to let go of it, but there are so many inspiring things, and, I'm just seeing so many inspiring things in my life that it's not having the impact that it had when, I was in a much different place in my life.
Yeah.
So it's,
So it's all such a giant thank you. And also, both of us and probably a lot more folks, it's a real faith builder.
Yeah.
That I'm having the life that I'm having. And if there were something that shouldn't be this way about it, then it wouldn't be happening. I'm not in charge of that. I don't have to worry about that. I can just accept what comes my way and say thank you for it. That's and take advantage of it.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for the program and for having this opportunity to call in, and just like the support all through these years. It's so great. Like when I was at the monastery, it's like I'm going home, and I feel like I'm talking to my people, and it's so great. I just feel so lucky.
Yeah, we are. We are.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for checking in.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate
it. All right.
Okay, good night.
See you soon. Okay, good night. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have about 6 minutes left and another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Rob from Minnesota.
Hello, Rob.
Hi.
And, Sherry, I'm calling back, I think, about 2 years after you gave me an assignment to report back. And what I have to report is that in that time, I've been just very patiently, doggedly, every day, doing basically every single thing that the Sangha offers. You know, every class, every practice. And to fast forward through that period, the end result is that my baseline of happiness is just noticeably and substantially higher than it was.
Excellent.
And I've just gone through lots of sort of phases, sometimes along with the class and sometimes along with my, you know, just sort of with insights that I've had. And but just every time the basic feeling just gets better and better. And I want to express my gratitude to all the support that you and everybody puts out there, and especially to people who participate in those email classes, because it's just so amazing to see your own experience time after time.
Right. It's one of those where, now, I didn't write that. I'm pretty sure I didn't write that, but God knows I could have.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's well, so basically kind of the answer, the high-level answer to your question was, I called in saying that I just would get so exhausted by the end of the week. And you said, well, here's a koan for you. You know, look and see, where does that energy go? And so I first realized, as I really was looking at it, that contrary to what I had thought, work itself was no problem. It was the time between work where conditioning was just beating the bleep out of me. That was the problem.
Uh-huh.
So I just kind of went into these little phases. So I started a period, I think based on the vacation book, or I mean the Time Out for Parents book, where you have a wonderful little vacation sequence. And I recorded a bunch of things that said there's absolutely no reason why you can't feel the way you do on vacation right now.
Uh-huh.
And I just practiced stopping in the middle of the day and turning my mind to that feeling. And that, you know, and conditioning fought back incredibly, but that was really a kind of a revelation. And because if work wasn't scary, and then in between work wasn't scary, then that's a pretty good deal.
Right. I got to tell you, I love that. I'm going to record that myself. That's very, very good. To, you know, why can't I feel like I'm on vacation all the time?
Yeah.
You know, I'm stuck in traffic and I'm in Rome.
And I went through kind of a take your mentor to work period.
Uh-huh.
And that was sort of the theme for a while. And then, you know, making the home office safe for Rob was another theme. And I'd say sort of the biggest kind of event that I would report is that this last spring, while working full time, I did a very ambitious, big kind of innovative art project that was both exhilarating but also kind of scary, and conditioning was making a big fuss. Oh, you're never going to be able to do this, and plus all the regular doubts that, you know, creative people have, is this any good, or, you know, those kinds of things. But I somehow was to the point where I could say, you know what, I'm going to change my to-do list. There's only going to be one thing on my to-do list, and that is take care of Rob.
Wow.
And everything else goes on a could-do list that I look at after I take care of Rob. And I got all kinds of, every kind of support I could possibly get, and reflective listening. And if I can put in a plug for the Simply Celebrate folks, I got them to help support some practical parts of this project. And it really worked. I got through this project without it being a big tizzy.
Uh-huh. In fact, it sounds like you got through it, and it's great.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's what you were just talking about. It's like I'd always wistfully envied people who could look at their adversities as, you know, friends and helpers.
Right.
But I think because it seemed like, oh yeah, that would be nice. But I think that's what I did, as I'm saying it out loud now with that. It's like, you know, I was determined to make it. So it's just, I'm really feeling that it's becoming this deep habit now that when things, you know, when there are bumps in the road, the first reaction is, well, that means you've got to be extra nice to Rob today. And boy, is that different. That is so different from a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have been hard at work.
Yeah, thank you.
And you are an inspiration.
Well, conditioning is so amazing because, like so many people say, conditioning really didn't want me to call and said, oh, you don't know. No, I didn't want. But I'm glad. Thank you for reflecting that.
Yeah, and so the next thing that you've inspired me to do besides, well, I mean, I love the take the mentor to work. That's, you know, God knows we can all use that, and the could-do list. There's one thing on the to-do list, and then there's the could-do list. I love that. Truly brilliant.
Wow. It really, you're all the things that the Sangha, you and the Sangha do, they work. That's the other thing I can just say.
You're living proof.
Thank you so, so much.
Oh, thank you, Rob. I'm glad you got past those voices so that we could hear this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rob. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Wow,
Michael,
that was fun.
Let me ask you this.
Tell me.
Do you love Sangha?
I love Sangha.
It's the best, isn't it?
It's really great.
I mean, it's just Sangha is the best. That's all there is to it.
Yes. For me, it's recognizing how special and not special I am all at the same time.
Right.
Usually with a big dose of laughter to go along with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so inspiring. Everybody doing, each one of us doing our part. It's just the best.
It's amazing.
Let's talk again next week.
Yes, I'm very, very lucky, and I would love to do that, and I'm free.
Good. All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Night.